A reading is taken from Joshua chapter 3, page 217 in the Pew Bible. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing the river. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." And Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that you may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant that when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." And Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp across the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a great heap a distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Araba, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Amen.
So we're kind of following this little mini-series of 4 weeks. This is a third of four of just thinking about ourselves as a church and the future and the way forward, what that looks like for us as a body of God's people in this place, and how he has taken people in the past and done something new with them, asked them to do particular things, and how they responded to that, and how God worked out his purpose in their lives, but his bigger purpose in a nation, and a bigger purpose than that in a world, because that's what it's about. A couple of weeks ago, we thought about Abraham, the father of the faith, who was called to leave where he lived and to go to a place that God would show him. He didn't tell him where that would be. He just simply asked him to leave. And we know that in a few verses, God says, "Leave." A few verses later says, Abraham went. Total obedience, no questioning. Later on in his experience, there would be lots of questioning and doubting, but not at this particular time, at least not as recorded. Then last week we thought about Moses and about how God spoke to him out of the burning bush and said, "Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. But Moses' reaction was a little bit different in that he just didn't have total obedience, but he had lots of questions and excuses, and he had five of them. Do you remember? Can you remember what the five were if you were here last week? The first one was, who am I? He was old. Maybe he felt that he had been a failure, that life had passed him by, that his time had gone. Who am I? And can't we all say that? His second one was, who are you? For if he were to go to God's people and say, the Lord has sent me to you to set you free, and they would say, who is this God? They had forgotten who he was. But God gave them his personal name. I am who I am. I am Yahweh. Tell them, Yahweh has sent you. Tell them, I am who I am. I will be who I will be. The third one was, what if they don't believe me? What if they say, God has not spoken to you? And it was that point where God said to Moses, what is in your hand? Do you remember? There was a staff in his hand. His identity, his employment, his income, his everything was in this staff, because he looked after sheep, other people's sheep. But God was able to use this staff and make it a staff of God and do miraculous things through it. And we thought about how our God can take what he's placed in our hands, who we are, where he's placed us, the gifts that he's given us, and how he can do miraculous things through those things that we have in our hands. The fourth one was, I can't speak very well. And God said, you don't need to be a great orator. I have chosen you. I will give you the words to say. You don't need to worry about it, because Moses, it's not about you. It's about me. And the fifth and final one was, after all of that, Moses simply said, oh Lord, please send someone else. And God wasn't too happy with that. But Moses went, and he saw miraculous things take place. And Moses led them through the desert for those 40 years, and now they're on the brink of entering the promised land. But Moses would not take them there, but Joshua would. And that's who we're thinking about today, Joshua. Joshua was a young man when they would have left Egypt. He was like a personal assistant to Moses. When Moses went up Sinai to receive the commandments, Joshua kept watch. Joshua would have spent time in the tent of meeting and the tabernacle, waiting on the Lord, learning to wait on the Lord. Learning to wait. We're not very good at that, are we? But in his apprenticeship to Moses, Joshua learned many things. Joshua was a warrior as well. Fearsome. Brave. But he was godly. And the time had come to enter the promised land, and Moses could see it, but Moses would not go there. Eventually the mantle was passed. Joshua would be the new leader. The people would know this. But here was a problem. They stood here on the east bank of the Jordan, and they wanted to go to the west. But how would they get there? And this amazing story tells about how God would take them there, because it was going to be God's work. And we know the story of the guys crossing the Red Sea and Moses with a staff, and the Red Sea opens up. But maybe we're not so familiar with this story of crossing the Jordan. But this immense story has got a whole lot to teach us. Like, the whole book of Joshua has so much to teach us, because God is working out his purpose in the lives of a nation for the blessing of the whole world. And there's things like faith, purity, and obedience are all wrapped up in this story. Faith, purity, obedience. What is faith? If I were to ask you for a definition of faith, what would it be? First one, put their hand up, get a prize. Maybe it could be something along the lines of, faith is believing what God says and living like we believe it. It's that from our intellect to our heart to our hands and feet kind of idea. We can read the Bible and we can say, yeah, I believe that. And yet it can have no effect on our lives. Is that faith? I don't think so. Faith is believing what God tells us and then living it as though we believe it. Obedience and faith. And purity, the whole idea of being holy because God is holy, being set apart, being different. Not being weird, but simply that whole idea wrapped up in faith that we are in love with God with our heart and soul and mind and strength. Faith, obedience, purity, holiness, set apartness, His. Keith Green, a singer from the 70s, 80s, who I've been listening to recently, I heard him speaking and he said about being a Christian. What's the definition of being a Christian? Is someone who goes to church? No. Someone who reads their Bible? No. But someone, he says, who is bananas for Jesus. So it's a kind of nice way to put it, isn't it? I hope it's not disrespectful. But someone who is bananas for Jesus, someone who is totally sold on this man, this God, and everything is seen in the light of this relationship with Him. So anyway, Moses passes on the mantle to Joshua, and Joshua has a plan, but it's not his own plan. God speaks to Joshua. Joshua speaks to the people. There's this lovely sequence all the way through. God speaks to Joshua. Joshua speaks to the people, and they obey. Because blessing comes through our obedience. And the plan is that they would have the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was a box. And in it was the Ten Commandments, the two tablets of stone that Moses had got on Mount Sinai. And only the priests could touch this box, could carry this box, could transport it. And the plan was to go across this stretch of water that they needed to do so to get to the other side, the promised land. They would follow the Ark of the Covenant. And God said, the priests will carry the Ark and you will follow at a distance of about 1,000 meters. They weren't to go near it, but they would follow it because they would follow God's leading. It wasn't their own plan, wasn't their own idea. It was God's command to follow, and they would follow Him. Now, this box was very important because it spoke of two things. It spoke of God's presence. When the Ark of the Covenant was with the people, it spoke of God's presence with His people. He was there. This was the symbol of God's presence with His people. But the fact that it also had the Ten Commandments inside was about God's instruction, because when they got to the other side, how were they going to live? Was it going to be a free-for-all? Were they going to do their own thing? No, God had a plan. God had ways to live. And on that Mount Sinai occasion, when the commandments were passed and that covenant was bought into, I will be your God and you will be my people. And this is how you will live this out. These were not commands to put them down, but to elevate them. It was a way to live that was the best way. God had made them in a particular way, and when they lived this particular way, they would be blessed. They would be fulfilled. They would have life in all its fullness. So this Ark of the Covenant was very important. And he says the priests walk ahead, and when their feet touch the water will stop flowing. Now that takes an act of faith, doesn't it? Now remember that the people who are going to enter into the promised land are not the people who left Egypt, because that generation died in the desert because of their unbelief. So these people who are going across the Jordan would not have seen what happened at the Red Sea. They would have heard about it, but not experienced it. But here was going to be God in action again. And it was going to authenticate Joshua's leadership. Because Moses, when he was frightened, did miraculous things with his staff. And when the people saw that he had done miraculous things, they knew that God was with him. So it was going to be the same for Joshua. They would see that Joshua wasn't just going to be the leader because Moses said so. He was the leader because God was with him. And this amazing feat was going to authenticate his leadership. So they would follow. They would follow. They would follow because they had never passed that way before. He said, follow the ark. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have not passed this way before. If you follow the Lord, you'll know the way to go because you've not passed this way before. They were looking to God for direction because they had not passed that way before. When we were considering coming here to Greystones, we had not passed this way before. Was it the right thing to do? Was it the right place to come? Did we believe it was God's call? Was God leading us in this direction? And the only way we can feel comfortable about being here is to believe that God has brought us here, a way that we had not passed before. And it's life like that. We're called to follow Jesus. We're called to allow him to be our shepherd. Because life is full of new challenges. What school will you go to? What college will you go to? What subjects will you study? What job will you take up? When you become parents, how will you be a parent? You've never done this kind of thing before. Going to new places, new challenges always. But if we follow his leading, he will not lead us up a blind alley. He will not lead us somewhere that we should not be, somewhere that is scary. But he will be with us. And so we have found in coming to Greystones that he has been with us. And we have found it to be a land full of milk and honey and lovely people. And so it is with all of us. If we follow his leading, we will not be disappointed. Jesus says, follow me. Didn't the psalmist say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even when I go through the scariest situations, even in bereavement, even in our own death, in a way that we have not passed before, we don't need to be frightened if we know him and we're following him. We can go this new path, even through the valley of the shadow of death, confidently, because he's with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. His eye is upon us. We are in the palm of his hand. He'll not let us go. Keep your eye on him, since you have not passed this way before. But the ark was also a sign that God was going to go before his people and lead them against all their enemies. Because in Canaan there were many people. It wasn't a barren land. It was a beautiful land. But a land full of many people who would not welcome them, who would fight against them. And so before they went, the people had to purify themselves. That is what he says. He said, Joshua told the people, verse 5, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. So consecrate themselves. Purify themselves. That would have meant many things. Washing their bodies and washing their clothes. Refraining from different practices. Just being ready for what God was going to do the next day. And we are called to be holy because he's holy. And we are called to consecrate ourselves in following him. In living our lives for him, to purify ourselves. That's why we confess. We bring our sins to him to say, Lord, forgive us. Because like our bodies, we get dirty. And we need to confess them and bring them out into the open. And he'll wash them. Forgive us. It's about spending time in prayer and meditation. It's about reading his word. That is consecrating ourselves. This is purifying ourselves. Not just saying, yeah, Lord's going to do wonderful things and I'm going to follow without thought. But no, this is God. The one who loves us and who gives everything for us. Who is holy and says, be holy because I am holy. So the next day, the Ark of the Covenant moved out with the priests, and as soon as they stood on that water, the water stopped. Isn't that amazing? An act of faith. God said it would happen. They obeyed, and it happened. And the water piled up way upstream in this place called Adam, which is probably about 20 miles upstream. So there was no flow of water from the Jordan down to the Dead Sea. It just stopped so that these people could cross over. But it didn't stop until the priest stood on that water's edge, confident of what God said, trusting that what he said was true, knowing that he would go before them, and all they had to do was follow. And they put their feet in the water, and they walked. And when they got to the middle of the Jordan, the priests stopped with the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. And the people crossed over in safety. They probably crossed over downstream. They stood at a distance so that they could all see it. So the priests would have been here and the people would have crossed downstream here, 1,000 meters downstream. But they could all see the presence of God because this was God's work. There was the Ark, the symbol of God's presence, held by the priests, and the water did not flow, and they crossed over in safety. Joshua told them to get a representative from each tribe, 12 men, and when they crossed over, and the guys ready for battle crossed over first, thousands of them. And when the people crossed over safely, the 12 men came back to the middle, to where the priests were, and they picked up 12 stones from where the priests were standing. They weren't small stones. They were big stones because they had to carry them on their shoulders. One from each tribe. And they took these stones back to the other side. And what was that for? When the whole nation had finished, this is chapter 4. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you're staying tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. They were to pick up those stones and bring them back, take them to their camp, and Joshua set up these stones. What kind of setting up he did, we don't really know. Maybe he formed them into a circle. But these stones were significant because they were drawn from the center of the Jordan where there would be water. And when people would come along and their children would come along and say, what are these stones here for? What's this all about? They would say, those are from the center of the Jordan. Because when the Ark of the Covenant went into the waters stopped and the people crossed in safety. This was to remind them of what God had done, of this awesome miracle. This was not the first time that stones would be set up as a memorial. Because it's good to remember, isn't it? To have something tangible to help us to remember. God doesn't do miracles all the time. So we've got to remember them and we've got to talk about them. And as we share our faith with our children, that's what we're doing, about what the Lord has done in the past, but also hopefully what the Lord has done in our lives. I've got 2 stones and I forgot to bring them today. One's about this size. And it's a course that Thomas, our son, and I did called Passage. It's a father and son course. and it's about exploring faith. And at the end of the course, there are many stones with words written on it. And you could take a stone. And I took the stone with the word thankfulness on it. Because that's how I felt. When I thought about Thomas, I thought, I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for this course that we've done. I'm thankful for faith. I'm thankful that God loves us and has given us this opportunity. Just thankfulness. And I've got that I keep with me all the time. Well, not in my pocket, but certainly in my study. Thankfulness. And then I've got another stone that I picked up last year, because he now lives in Newcastle upon Tyne. And we're walking on the beach, and I picked up this beautiful stone. It was a flat stone. And I was tempted to skim it across the water, but I thought, no, I'll keep this stone. And when I look at it, it'll remind me of Newcastle upon Tyne and where my son lives. I got that stone as well. As a reminder, I look at the stone, it reminds me. So it was with these stones. These 12 large stones. What is this about? That reminds us of the time God did a miraculous thing among his people. He brought them to this land flowing with milk and honey. In order to get here, we had to cross the Jordan. And to cross the Jordan, God let that water stop flowing, and we walked across on dry land. Isn't that a miracle? Today I brought some stones with me, and they're at the front, smaller and bigger. They're quite pretty stones. And what I want you to do today is to take one. And when you take it, I want you to keep it. Don't lose it. Don't put it in the bin when you get home. Always know where it is. Put it in your handbag. Sit on your mantelpiece. But when you take it, I want it to remind you of God's faithfulness to you. Where God was faithful to Abraham and Moses and Joshua. But God's faithfulness to you. And when you hold it, to be thankful that Jesus loves you, that he's with you all the time, and that if you follow him, he'll lead you into good places. He will bless you. I'd like you to take one at the end. There's a whole selection. You can take two if you like. But I wanted to remind you even of today, even of this passage, but to hold it and to think, why have I got that stone? Or maybe you'll show it to someone and they'll say, why have you got that stone? You'll say, oh, that reminds me of. Because God wants us to remember. He wanted those people to remember that when they crossed into that land, that he had taken them from the land of slavery into a land of blessing. It wasn't just moving a dress. It was a whole change of everything from the land of slavery to the land of blessing. And when we become a Christian, that is what God does with us. He takes us from being enslaved to ourself, to sin, to all the things that would lead to death. And takes us to a land of blessing where we know Jesus, where we have his spirit, into the land of life. That's why we're thankful. Not just because we live in a pretty place, but because to know Jesus is to know life itself, life in all its fullness, eternally. So what has God said to you today? What does the life of Moses, the leadership of Moses, the obedience of the people say to you today? And as we look at the future, as we look about going forward, not simply making up ideas ourselves, even if they might be good, but to say, Lord, what direction do you want us to go to as a church so that we might be a blessing to the nations? Where do you want us to go? How do you want us to live? What mission have you prepared for us? For he says, follow me. And you will know God's blessing. And the world will know that we are his. But take a stone and remember that God is.